Your word. As we do, we invite the teacher of the church, the Holy Spirit, to fulfill his ministry in our midst. Lord, I ask you to anoint the words that come out of my mouth. Cause them to take root in the heart of all who hear this lesson. Father, I ask for illumination, revelation, and understanding to the hearts and the minds of all who hear. Dear Father, I thank you for making me an able minister of the New Testament, and I thank you that we'll have a successful lesson because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Dear Father, I thank you that it doesn't depend on me, it depends on you, and you are faithful. So we do praise and thank you in advance in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, the title of our lesson tonight is The Shepherd of Your Soul. We have been working on the fact that Jesus said in Luke 12:32 that we do not have to fear because we are God's flock. That's where he says, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And we've done a number of lessons on fear and dealing with fear. And for the past 4 weeks, we've been specifically focusing on the fact that the Bible calls us God's flock and what it means that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. In the Bible, we've made this point. God uses a lot of word pictures to describe himself, us, and the relationship he desires to have with us. The indescribable God gives us as much help as he can by these word pictures to help us to see him, ourselves, and the relationship we're supposed to have with him. And many places in the scripture, God calls us sheep and himself our shepherd for that reason, to help us understand some things about him, some things about ourselves, and some things about the relationship he wants to have with us. Now, we've spent the past several weeks, we went into great detail looking at sheep. I came at it from this angle. God could have called us really any kind of animal, but he didn't call us horse and himself the wrangler or the cowboy. You know, he's the wrangler, we're the horses. We're the fish, he's the whaler or whatever. He called us sheep and himself shepherd because of what it conveys. We made the point that sheep require more care than any other class of livestock. And a shepherd's life, a good shepherd, a shepherd who was good at his job, his life had to be one of dedication to the welfare and protection of his sheep. We went through it in great detail. We looked at various characteristics of sheep that have to be addressed and dealt with by the shepherd so they can be protected, they can be safe, they can be contented, they can be provided for. And we've made the point that a sheep's lot in life depends entirely upon the character of the shepherd. Our shepherd is the good shepherd. See, God wanted us to know something about him, us, and our relationship with him through the picture of shepherd and sheep. Sheep require a lot of care. We require a lot of care. But the good shepherd dedicates his life to the welfare and the protection of the sheep. God calls himself shepherd to help you understand something about how he looks at you and what his intention toward you is. He watches over us affectionately and watchfully. We've been using that phrase. It comes from the Amplified Bible, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care on him because he cares for you watchfully and affectionately. Excuse me. Now, we looked at the fact that God refers to himself as shepherd and us as sheep, the sheep of his pasture. We looked up a bunch of verses. That theme begins in the Old Testament when he called Israel his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And we made the point that Israel repeatedly wandered from God. Sheep have a tendency to wander. That's why shepherds have to go out and find them and bring them back. Israel repeatedly wandered from God to worship false gods. But we said God's promise to them was that he would one day regather, restore, and shepherd his scattered flock. We looked at Ezekiel 34. We're not going to revisit that tonight because we've spent a lot of time with it the past 3 weeks. But in Ezekiel 34, really the whole chapter deals with what a good shepherd should do for his sheep. We read quite a bit of it last week. But God made one statement to them in that chapter that I want to reread. It's on your outline, verse 15, and I took it out of the Living Bible. Actually, I want to read you a couple of verses. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep and cause them to lie down in peace, the Lord says. God's promise to Israel when they were a scattered flock was, I myself will regather you, restore you, and I will shepherd you, and I will cause you to lie down in peace. Now, we talked in a previous lesson about the fact that it's almost impossible to get sheep to lie down in contentment and peace if they are threatened and fearful, if they've got parasites, if they're hungry, if they're thirsty. The shepherd must address all those issues. In other words, it's the shepherd's care of the sheep that produces a life of calmness for the sheep. But why are we talking about it? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Because I'm wanting us to see something about God's attitude toward us through his choice to call himself a shepherd and us a sheep. See, many people, many Christians struggle with fear in their lives because they're not sure what God is going to do to them. Well, he's called himself shepherd, so you'll understand what he will do to you. He'll lead you and guide you, protect you, and provide for you. That's what he wants to do for you, okay? Now, toward the end of Ezekiel 34, God promised Israel that he would raise up a shepherd for his sheep, one who is good at his job, a good shepherd, one who would feed and guide his people. That's Ezekiel 34, verses 23 and 24. We're not going to reread that. But the reason I bring that up is because when Jesus was on earth, he took the title of good shepherd. Now, if you would,